Our reading this morning is from Corinthians 8, 1 through 13. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. This is the word of the Lord.
Phoebe's at that stage of life where she wants to do everything herself, but she's also at that age where there's not a whole lot that she can do all by herself. We were at the store yesterday picking up a few things we needed, and she wanted not to sit in the seat in the cart, but she wanted to walk around the store with us. And thankfully, she's started to learn how to hold our hands, so at least she's not running down the aisles way ahead of us all the time. But it's a bit harder for Emma and I when she wants to walk by herself because her legs aren't as long as my legs are, which means that it's going to make me slow down. And what I think is going to be just a quick run into the store to pick up a few things takes a little bit more time, and you kind of have to work with her and find a way to figure out how to do it. If she wants to do everything herself, well, maybe she can't do everything herself yet, but there's little ways that we can kind of do and change our way of doing to make her feel a little bit more like she's doing it all herself, that maybe we let her help put the can of beans into the meal that we're making that night or whatever it is so that she feels a little bit more a part of it. And it means that for us, we kind of have to change our mindset, our expectations a little bit as well. That maybe our plan or understanding of how things are have to change a little bit, or maybe not change necessarily, but we have to adjust the way that we approach things to be able to have her grasp and understand it. You know, children's books are fun to read. They're fairly simple most of the time, and that's because you're not gonna give a kid a book about philosophy and think that they're going to be able to understand it right away. Even people whose doctorates are in philosophy may not be able to understand that book, but children's books are able to speak to children in a way that they can kind of start to understand and to know how things work in the world together. Or at least a good children's book does that. And Paul's talking a bit about this today. That maybe those that are a little bit more advanced in the faith or older in the faith, maybe those who learned from him as he was teaching there before he moved on to plant other churches, maybe they understood a bit more of the gospel and what all of its implications meant. But then there were these younger Christians who were just starting to walk in the faith, and the two groups weren't really meshing very well together. The ones who were older in the faith, a little bit more advanced in the faith, well, they were running ahead of those who were just new baby Christians and not taking them by the hand and helping them and teaching them what it meant. Paul says they were using their knowledge, the freedoms they have in Christ, and abusing those freedoms and the knowledge they had at the cost of their weaker brothers and sisters. Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide. And sometimes we can do this too. Maybe we've been around the Christian faith for some time and we know the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus, and we know there's some liberties that we have as Christians that maybe we've come to know over time. Some of those freedoms have to do with kind of how we act and how we live. Way back in the day in the Reformed Church, drinking alcohol probably wasn't something that you did, but over time as we read Scripture and we understood it better, it wasn't so much that it was an outright wrong thing to do, at least not in moderation. And that's one of those freedoms that we've been given in Christ Jesus, that we can partake of the good things of this world, but do so in a manner that doesn't harm us. Entertainment's the same thing. Way back in the day in the Reformed Church, you wouldn't go to the movies, but now we've come to see that, well, maybe some of those things were just ideas that we had, but aren't really spoken about in Scripture. But that doesn't mean that we should just go to any movie or have any entertainment, that some is healthy for us, others might harm our relationship with Christ. But as mature believers, in the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus, we can kind of reason out and see those things and know the differences in between something that might be beneficial for us to see and something that might be harmful for us to see. But for a new Christian that's just in the faith, maybe they had a problem with one of these before they came to Christ. Maybe alcohol was a debilitating factor in their life, and when they came to Christ, they decided to totally put that away and leave it with the old self, and they're confused when they see a mature believer having a drink at night with their dinner. As a new believer, they don't know how those two things go together yet, or maybe they saw the harm in all of the entertainment that we have today, just entertaining ourselves to death, and they wanted to leave that in the old life, but now they see Christians maybe taking that freedom a bit too freely and not really thinking about the media that we consume, and they struggle in their faith because of that. And it could be in just about any area where Scripture gives us freedom in Christ, that there's this struggle in between, well, I take my freedom this way and I understand Scripture this way, and maybe the weaker brother or sister not taking those freedoms so freely yet. So it begs the question of, then, well, how do we handle our freedoms that we know Scripture speaks and says that we have some freedom to reason these out and to ask the Holy Spirit to help and guide us in these different situations. How do we handle these freedoms in a way that doesn't harm others in Christ Jesus who might see these freedoms, liberties, differently than we do? Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide now. So Paul is talking about meat sacrificed to idols. Meat sacrificed to idols, it's something that maybe we don't fully understand, comprehend today. Bodhi, if you can go to the next one. Had to get a drink of water there. But it was a big thing in that day, that eating meat sacrificed to idols. It's not really something that you could take yourself out of in that context. It would be something that just happened in society, that most often when we go to a restaurant, it's just a restaurant there who gets their food from whatever vendor they get it from. It's delivered once a week, and they cook that food, and we eat it, pay for it, and that's what restaurants are today. Back in that day, restaurants were kind of the temples, and the temples were restaurants. So their food was given as sacrifices to whatever god they were worshiping in that temple. And the family who gave that sacrifice would eat first with the priest, but then there would be oftentimes leftover food that was sacrificed, and either that food would be eaten at the temple at that moment by someone else who maybe couldn't afford that sacrifice but wanted a meal that day. They could go to the temple and probably find some food. Or if there was excess from that, then the meat that was already sacrificed to that god would be moved from the temple into the courtyard and be sold for somebody to take it and eat it that night in their own home. So it was hard to find in that day any meat that wasn't sacrificed to idols. So it was a big deal for the church in Corinth to figure out what to do about this situation, that if you wanted meat, more than likely it was going to be meat that had been sacrificed to some other god. So those who were more advanced in the faith, who had a deeper understanding about God and his ways, well, they knew, because Paul had preached the message that, well, there is but one God. We know this from all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 6, where God says, I am who I am, that I am God and there is but one. So Paul preached that message and says, God, Yahweh, is the only true God. All of the rest of these gods that people are worshiping in temples, well, they're just items made of wood and stone and precious metals, and, well, they don't mean anything. There's nothing behind that. There is no Baal. There is no Athena. There is no Zeus. They're just all made up ideas. So it doesn't matter, because it was being sacrificed to no one. So you can eat and partake of this meat because it was just cooked in a stone building. Maybe the people thought they were offering it to a god, but there is no god there to offer it to. So you can partake of it freely, and you can even say a blessing over it from our God as you eat it. But for somebody who was steeped in that system, that culture, that way of thinking, that would be hard to divide that idea from the one that you had lived with your entire life. That from the day you were born, you were going to these temples and sacrificing to these gods and wanting to please them. It would be hard to separate that idea that there is no God behind that, and it would be hard as a new believer to say, well, yes, I can eat this meat and kind of divide yourself from how it was prepared and maybe that it was given to this wooden statue before that. So that's the tension that Paul is talking about here, that he says and affirms that those idols are nothing, there is but one God, that their knowledge is correct on that, that yes, there is only one God, and that all these idols, they're just human creations made up. But the thing there is that even though their knowledge was right, they were using that Christian liberty in a way that was making that weaker brother or sister stumble, which means they maybe need to rethink the entire thing, because the underlining idea for Paul here is in verse 1, where he says, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. He wants to have our base kind of care for people come out of not our knowledge about things. Knowledge is good, but it's how we use that knowledge, how we love one another, that Paul really wants to communicate and get across to us, and that's what really matters. So Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slides there. Paul is saying here that freedom without love destroys. Maybe I can exercise my freedom in Christ that I've received from my study and understanding of Scripture, but if my use of that freedom leads a brother or sister to sin, then I myself, Paul says, has sinned against Christ, because remember, Paul's understanding of the church is that we're all one body in Christ Jesus, so that if I sin against one of my brothers or sisters, it's not only them that I'm sinning against, but Christ as well. He also has this underlining idea that love willingly limits the freedoms and liberties that we have. Just like Christ limited himself, came down to earth, assumed our human flesh, gave up his rights out of his love for us, and he even took that so far as to die on the cross in our place, that he has all of this power and authority, that Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity, but in Jesus Christ, as he came into the earth, he assumed our flesh, humbled himself, even willingly going to the cross for us and for our salvation, even though he is the most powerful being in all of the universe, the one who created everything. For that time in Christ Jesus, he allowed himself to go through that for us and for our salvation. So what Paul is saying here, that maybe you have all the freedoms and liberties to live in a way that feels right to you and lines up with Scripture, but if all of that is even true, if you don't have love for your weaker brother and sister, one who might see it a bit differently or hasn't come to the understanding that you have of it yet, that if you just march forward and say, it's my freedom and I can do this, if it harms a weaker brother or sister, you've sinned against them and you've sinned against the body of Christ. So Paul is saying, yes, it's your right, but maybe you shouldn't take that right to go into the temples and eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols, because those who are weaker in the faith, maybe you need to take them by the hand and to slow down a little bit and to walk with them, to teach them, to guide them in the ways of Christ Jesus, not just run forward and leave them behind in the dust. He also says here and underlines this idea of love in verse 3, where he says, those who love God are known by God. is kind of undermining a little bit of the pride that they had, the knowledge that had puffed them up. He's trying to poke the pin in that bubble that they have by saying, knowledge is good, but love is even better. That maybe you know God well, but if you don't love God, well, you won't be known by Him. For those of us who hold on to our knowledge pretty closely, this one hurts a bit. Because our knowledge may be all correct, but if we don't have the love of God behind that knowledge, well, Paul says here that we may not be known by Him. That's all that really matters in this entire thing, is that we're known by God. So how can we take this freedom, this liberty we've been given, and how do we live in the tension of the love that we have for others, and how do we live this out in the church? So Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide. Again, going back to those choices. Or do we insist on freedoms without love? Do we insist that the way that we live, maybe it's our alcohol consumption, our entertainment, maybe it's the way we dress, are we choosing to live in the freedoms that Christ gave? Well, maybe leaving some of our weaker brothers and sisters behind by saying, well, it's my freedom, I can do it, as opposed to living a Christ-like life and saying, yes, it's my freedom, but for the sake of Christ and His body, for my brothers and sisters, I'm going to abstain from my right to use that liberty so that I might love my brother and sister in Christ better. It's that idea of, I may have the right understanding here, but my brother or sister in Christ matters more to me than having right thoughts. And again, Paul is talking about ideas here that we've been given freedoms in Christ Jesus. We should fight for the doctrines and for what Christ clearly says in His Scripture, but it's these things that are debatable, these opinions that we have, these things that Christ maybe doesn't speak directly to in Scripture, these are where we've been given freedoms, and these are the things that, for the sake of Christ, maybe we want to set them aside and say, for the sake of my weaker brother and sister, I'm going to set that aside so that I can meet them where they are in the faith, walk with them, teach them more about Christ Jesus. And while we do that, I'm not going to use my freedom in a way that might harm their faith as it just gets started. But I think Paul is hoping that as we do that, that our knowledge that puffs us up would lessen, that our love for our weaker brother and sister might increase, and through that love, through walking beside our weaker brother and sister, that they would grow in the knowledge of Christ and of His grace, and eventually they would grow into a place where they have a deeper understanding of Christ and His ways, and maybe they're able to take those freedoms that they once thought were harmful for their faith, that maybe they grow because of it instead of being left in the dust. So to kind of get at this idea, a good question to ask is, does this build others up, or does this just puff me up? Am I doing this? Am I exercising my freedoms and liberty in Christ because it kind of makes me feel like a more better Christian or a more liberated Christian? Or am I doing this because it helps the church grow in this way. Another question that might be helpful to ask is, what does it look like for me to slow down for others? That maybe I don't have to charge ahead in this freedom, in this liberty that I've been given, but maybe I can slow down for a minute and kind of rethink how I approach that issue. So Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide. I think for us as a church, this means that those of us who maybe are a bit more, I guess I might call it aged in the faith, or more advanced in the faith, or have been around Christianity for some time, who have really gotten into God's Word and studied it well, who are in that race to follow Christ Jesus, that maybe our knowledge is there, but what does it mean for us to slow down and to be by one of those infant Christians that they're just starting out in the faith? Maybe it means that we just slow down and make sure that we're not talking at a high level of theology with them or about the deep things of Christ, but just like those children's books, we learn how to communicate those big truths in ways that help them understand it and see it better. And just like an infant, as he or she starts to walk, that it's just little steps at first. Little truths about Christ Jesus each day, and before you know it, those weaker in the faith will grow to become those strong Christians that maybe we see ourselves as. It also means that we have to pair our knowledge with humility. That yes, we know these truths about Jesus and about his grace and about the liberties we've been given in him, but we also have to have the humility to say that, yes, this is what I believe, but for the sake of Christ and his church, I'm going to set that aside for a time so that I can meet you where you are and to help you grow in the faith. Our rights as Christians then become less important than our relationships, that we care about the body and want to reflect Christ Jesus to our brother and sister, humble ourselves just as Christ humbled himself. And really this all gets to the main point. Bodhi, if you want to go to the last slide. And that's because Christ gave up his right in order to save us. Remember, he sets his power and authority aside for a time to come and be with us, to die for us. We too follow him in that by gladly limiting the freedoms that we've been given in Christ to love and to build up our brothers and sisters in the faith. Again, this isn't setting aside the important doctrines of the faith for the sake of the church, but the freedoms, those disputable matters in Scripture, so that we might love one another well. So the action point for this week, that thing that you should reflect on this week, is how can we show our weaker brother and sister, how can we show them Christ in the way that we show love to them this week? Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful that you condescended to us in Christ Jesus, that in him you humbled yourself, that you assumed our human flesh for us and for our salvation. In God, in our relationships in the church, May we see you as the example of how to live, how we might in humility set aside our liberties, the freedoms that you give us in Christ Jesus, so that we might love our brother and sister well. May we, through every action that we have, edify and grow the church rather than leaving our weaker brothers and sisters behind in the dust. May we slow down. May we humble ourselves in order to serve your church better. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.